Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the seven centers. And before we go on, I might mention that we have a gift for you today, and we'll talk about that gift later on in the show. And all of the dialogue that you'll hear on this show has been inspired by the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the essence of that literature and that philosophy and those ideas are really the subject of this show. And this thought is also from Alice Bailey. The etheric body is composed entirely of lines of force and points where these lines of force cross each other and thus form centers of energy. Where many such lines of force cross each other, you have a larger center of energy, and where great streams of energy meet and cross, you have seven major centers. Once again, that's by Alice Bailey. I find all of this to be very complex, and we started talking about this last week, and I found myself very interested in it, but I'd certainly like you to recap briefly what was said last time, if you would.
We've had actually a couple of programs on this subject. We started out by talking about the etheric body, which is the energy body that is subjective, not visible, and yet is the real vehicle for bringing in and expressing energy that all of us have and use, whether we know it or not. And as the opening thought said, within that energy body or etheric body, there are seven centers of concentrated force. Actually, there are many, many centers that make up the human being. The whole study of this subject is so complex, and it's not a topic really that I feel very comfortable talking about. First of all, I'm no expert in it, but secondly, I know enough to know that it's quite not dangerous, but quite serious, and one shouldn't mess around, so to speak, with the centers, trying to activate them or stimulate them, and yet so many people do. When they learn that the seven centers along the spinal column awaken or become active in response to consciousness, then they take the reverse route of wanting to activate the centers in order to heighten their consciousness. And that's not a wise idea or a safe practice. And in fact, people sometimes do real damage to themselves. It really needs to be taken seriously. But knowledge of the subject, I think, is a good thing. And that's what we're trying to do in this program.
Yes, absolutely. I agree that there is much danger involved in opening these centers prematurely, because one is exposing oneself to energies, which are very potent energies, which the physical body is not yet ready to handle safely.
Or the other bodies, the mental body or the astral body,
right.
The emotional body.
There are, I think, probably a lot of cases walking around out on the streets that where this sort of thing has happened, perhaps unwittingly by some
through
people.
Drugs.
Yeah. And through just the excessive stimulation that we're receiving today in the world. And there is a very kind of tenuous web around these centers that if it gets torn, then a lot of potent energies coming from the inner planes can really pour through and cause mental and emotional unbalance, and that's often the case today with so many people out there on the streets and in the hospitals.
Last time we talked about briefly about the seven centers: base of spine, sacral center, solar plexus, heart, throat, Ajna center, and head center. Today, maybe we could talk more generally, but I thought it might be helpful to go into a bit more detail with just two or three of the centers, because most people are functioning through those centers whether or not they know it. And one is the solar plexus, which is in the abdominal area. It's associated with the pancreas gland. Every center is linked with a gland. It's exceedingly active in humanity, and it's the point of focus for most people. They might think they're focused in their mind, but in fact they work, they express themselves, they live through their emotional life. So many people do. And what this means is they're kind of like a leaf on the ocean, tossed this way and that by the emotions of people around them, by their own emotions. It's a kind of a reactive, negative way to live, because you're responding to whatever comes at you rather than being the director of your life. It makes one very sensitive on a personal level, in the sense of quick to respond to energy, quick to become agitated, quick to become angry or upset or fearful. So it's the kind of energy that evildoers can play upon, people who want to whip up a crowd into a frenzy, or to terrorize people or dominate them.
And the solar plexus is that center that, as you say, it's governs the emotional nature, and but if it doesn't have any the sufficient mind control or control by the mind over these emotional reactions, then, as you say, one is just pushed along through life by whatever kind of reaction comes from this emotional nature and through the center.
The main objective, if one is living through the solar plexus, is to transfer those energies, to lift them up into the heart center. And this happens as one learns to love unselfishly in an impersonal, more universal way. To operate through the heart means to have a consciousness of group relationships, to be someone who can live and thrive within a family, within a group, within any kind of larger context, and not see himself as totally isolated and independent from others. That's one way to elevate the energies of the solar plexus. Is there anything more we need to say about that center?
Well, this this whole process of transference of energies is a very long process, and it goes along with the evolutionary unfoldment of every human being, and all the energies that flow through the centers, from the bottom centers all the way up through to the head center, is a long evolutionary process. And as long as we allow that process to work itself out in a balanced way, then we will be okay.
And as long as it happens in reaction to the change within our own consciousness, in other words, rather than doing techniques or practices to force that energy up from the solar plexus into the heart or into the higher centers, it comes through a life rightly lived. In fact, it's said that the best way to elevate the energy of the solar plexus to the heart is through service, because, again, service expands one's sense of the group, makes one attuned to and identified with a larger whole, and not just focused totally within one's own desires and consciousness. So that's the slow way, like you say. It's the evolutionary way, but it's the only right way to elevate that energy. Another center that I think a lot of people would understand and be familiar with is the sacral center, which is the center that governs the sex life. It's associated with the gonads. As we said last time, it's necessary for the reproduction of the species. All of these centers serve a purpose, but the problem is when one is totally focused within a center that is low in vibration. In other words, you want to be able to use these centers as necessary and yet not let your consciousness be imprisoned in them. And I think the sacral center is overstimulated in modern Western society. If you look at our culture, what passes for mass culture, not high culture, the constant bemoaning of the fact that television is full of programs that are so obsessed with sex. I was reading just this week an article that they've done a study of primetime television, which used to be off limits between 7 and 8 or 9 for sexual content because that was the so-called family hour. Now, programs concern, they don't just concern, they focus on sex. I think this is an indication of the whole society being focused in the sacral center.
Well, they are,
my
opinion. And the society allows it,
yeah,
and encourages it, apparently.
They watch, even as they complain, they watch that television.
So, I mean, that is an indication, perhaps, of just where the focus of consciousness is and where those, you know, the sacral center and the solar plexus center that are working, and they're very active and vivid in their expression. And
music reflects it. Listen to the lyrics of
rock
music. So the sacral center, the solar plexus, are familiar to a lot of people, but the higher centers, the heart, the throat, the ajna center, the head center, awaken with the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is the seven centers. And we mentioned a gift earlier, and I know some of you have been wanting to hear about that. And our gift today is a paper on the seven centers, and we'll be happy to send that to you free of charge. And all you would have to do is call our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Now, that paper more or less picks up on the essence of what this show is all about, the chakras or the seven centers, and it'll tell you a little bit more about it if you'd like to explore that. So please, by all means, order it. And also remember that if that paper, if you find it interesting and if it touches your life in some way, if the thoughts within that paper seem to mean something to you and affect you in a positive way, what you might do is help us out. These radio shows are expensive, and you might want to donate something. And also, we hope that by reading that paper, The Seven Centers, that your interest in the works of Alice Bailey and in the Lucis Trust Organization might be further stimulated. So once again, to get your gift, the paper on The Seven Centers, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. And by the way, our website is www.lucistrust, that's one word, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S-T-R-U-S-T, lucistrust.org. That's www.lucistrust.org. And once again, all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps us to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Lucis Trust, once again, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And, you know, I was just thinking that most people, Sarah and Dale, go through their whole lives not knowing about the chakras or the centers.
And they live happily and the centers, even not knowing that, yes.
So, to me, I've, even before meeting you, I've explored this, unhappily so, because I think I did it the wrong way, as I told you off the air last week.
Yeah.
And kind of forced the chakras to open, which wasn't good for me, so I thoroughly agree with you. It had an effect on me. But... I see a definite reason and purpose for knowing about the chakras, even though most people do go through their whole lives like this without knowing it. What would your opinion be about the purpose of the individual knowing what the chakras are? And
well, I think it gives one a sense of control of one's spiritual destiny, because there's a great law that says, as above, so below. And it applies in so many ways. Here, that law means that the soul is a reservoir of energy that each individual belongs to, and which seeks to take possession of this entity, this vehicle called the personality, which is how most of us think of ourselves, this physical, emotional, mental being who lives in the world. The soul takes possession of that vehicle, that mechanism, to express its energy, which is love and light, as the centers awaken. Because the centers reflect consciousness, and as they awaken, the soul can tighten its grip, so to speak, upon the outer personality or mechanism. So that, to me, gives me hope.
And the soul's grip on the personality really begins to take effect as the heart center basically opens the heart and the throat and the higher centers, because those are the ones that are the most responsive to soul energy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones where, you know, particularly when the heart center begins to open. And
because that's group consciousness.
Group consciousness and develops in the individual. And his whole outlook turns away from his own little self, his own little ego self, to the world around him, to the needs of the world, to service, and to the needs of others. And this is when the soul really begins to take an interest and can really work through this individual, because the focus is now on the things that concern the soul.
The throat center can be used for the soul's purposes, because the throat is the creative center, and the soul works through this mechanism, which is us living in the outer world, by expressing its quality through our mind, our thoughts, through our creative works, through our responses to life. All of this is creative living. It doesn't mean just painting a picture or writing a poem. Creative living is the expression of soul purpose in a multitude of ways. The throat center awakens as one begins to live creatively and to make the adaptations and the adjustments to outer circumstances that can enable the soul to express itself no matter what is going on in the outer life. It's a way of molding life to suit the soul rather than just wishing you had a better set of circumstances and then you could live as a soul. It's a creative view of life. The Ajna center, the center between the eyebrows, awakens because the soul needs an integrated, organized mechanism that has an equilibrium to it. How would you express that
need?
Well,
it needs an integrated personality, whereas the mind is functioning.
Everything's in balance.
And the throat center, the creative aspect, is alive and well. And the Ajna center is a great distribution center also.
Mm-hmm. For the soul energy.
For that transference of the energies. And it, as we've said before, it's located in the region between the eyebrows, in the forehead. And the gland that is associated with the Ajna center is the pituitary gland. And then the other gland, the pineal gland, is associated with the heart, or the head center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the interaction between these two centers that's very important, too.
But if you try to activate them, stimulate them, before your consciousness is really functioning through those centers, you can give yourself migraine headaches, eye trouble, any brain difficulties. It's not a good idea to try to force those centers open. They open through living a redemptive spiritual life, lifetime after lifetime. It is a long, slow process, and people really have to understand it's not wise to force them open any more than you would pry open the jaws of an alligator before it's ready to open its mouth.
Well, I like to liken it to forcing open the blossom, a bud, of a flower.
That's a much better analogy.
If you try to force open this little bud, and it won't open up. It'll look terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it just destroys it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it'll do to you if you open up one of your chakras prematurely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they open up from inside, naturally, as the flower does. And in fact, in esoteric literature, the lotus flower is often used as a symbol
mm-hmm.
of the chakras, of the centers.
Each center is a lotus bud or a blossom with a certain number of petals, which make up that center. And the keynotes, would you say, of these petals are sacrifice, love, and knowledge.
And more or less, I'd say, what you're saying then is that opening up these chakra centers is a matter of a state of mind that one is in. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, a state of consciousness.
State of consciousness, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's so interesting because prior to meeting both of you, I was into being affected by spiritual gurus, if you will, who were very well-meaning, but they were very much into the idea of more or less forcing them open.
Yes, I know.
And as I said, it did me harm, and you were right.
But they're always convinced they're right. They always are convinced mm-hmm. that they have the technique that can help you, and they know what they're doing. But I would be very suspicious of that. The essence of understanding the centers is that wherever the greatest attention of one's consciousness and one's whole life focus is placed, there will be the point through which energy pours. If you are living a life that is totally emotional, based on desire, on craving, on feeling, on reactiveness, your solar plexus is going to be the center through which energy comes into you and through which you express yourself.
Mm-hmm. Energy follows thought, and wherever your thoughts are, that's where the energy is going to be attracted.
If you are immersed in sexual thought, desire, all of that focus, then your sacral center is going to be the basic focal point of your consciousness, even though you think you're working through your mind. Your whole life is driven by sexual urges, and you're, in a sense, a prisoner of them.
No, yeah. I think that's interesting. So they'll open naturally depending on one state of consciousness. And so I guess the bottom line is that there's no shortcuts to anything, and especially opening up the chakras. But I think also another thing is good, too. You had done a show on exploring the self, and I would think also that your comment before was accurate, that if we are really to know ourselves, understanding the etheric body and the chakras is highly important. Would you agree on that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we have a paper, once again, that we're giving away, and it's for free, naturally. It's a paper on the seven centers, which is a paper that is about the essence of our topic today. So if you'd like to explore that topic further, the seven centers, you can order our paper. We'll send it out to you free of charge at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. Our website, www.lucistrust.org. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.